Welcome to the Carter Show, live from Rogers Center. First live podcast that we've done in 5 years or so. David Glassford is here with me as we look out on an empty Rogers Center. A couple people walking around having a good time. Sim and their employees. Who knows? But we watched the Blue Jays and Mariners this afternoon. And the Blue Jays losing 6-1 by the time people hear this, whenever they hear this. On a Cal Raleigh home run off of Tim Mesa. How about that, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, tough way to lose. I gotta admit, just before the pitch he hit out, I said it was a good matchup, so that shows you what I know. But yeah, good. You know what, it happens in baseball. They ran into a good pitcher. Gilbert pitched amazing, and you know, it's still a series win's a series win. Would have been nice to get this week, but you know, it's you're going to run into, as they say, a buzzsaw sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt. And Gilbert was fantastic. It was a pretty easy day for Scott Service, some may say, as I try and adjust the game layers. First live podcast in a lot, so you know, apologize if the audio is too high or too low. I think it'll be on the too high, but that's okay. So we overlook the newly renovated Rogers Center, as there's a couple players on the field still. Straight ahead, the new seats and completely renovated 500 level, 100 level, seats facing right field, new backdrop as the folks see on TV. So this ballpark, June of 1989, and help me with my math, 35th anniversary coming yep. up, is now a baseball stadium, with the exception of not having grass. It's the only
yeah.
problem, really, that we have, but you've been going to games all your life, so have I. What does it finally mean to you to see that this building is now officially a ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, you go through what they did, the new seats facing, actually facing home plate, especially on the lines, on the first base, third base lines.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much that it's officially a baseball-only facility. I think it's more, you know, if they just needed a revamp. And you know what? I really like it. I really like the standing room, the extra standing room. And, you know, it seems like people like the extra, the cornhole toss, and the kids like the chalkboards they got in the arts and crafts area. So that's good for the other fans. And you know what? It's definitely a better viewing experience, better place to watch a ball game. So yeah, A plus in my book.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think from a price point, the $20 outfield district tickets all in are great revenue generator, because no matter how bad this team could get, and they're not bad right now, they're only 6-7 as we record this, people could still come out, spend $20. Buy some food on the 200 level at those boxes where the hot dogs are only $5 or $6. So it's not bad. It's good. I guess the one thing, obviously, it was a Wednesday afternoon game. And they're going to continue to promote the work from dome.
Yeah, stuff. Work from dome. Love it.
There was a guy that was under us where we're sitting that was, he legitimately like typed a fucking manual for his work. And he was doing it while he was chugging two Budweisers. That's nice. My favorite part. Back to my point, is that these afternoon games are interesting because we saw the majority of the outfield district have a lot of people, and then 100, 200, 500 levels. I don't have the official attendance, but I'll get it. But they weren't full. The boxes, the luxury boxes, they're pretty dark. You know, and getting to an economic side that we don't always talk about. Do you worry about attendance this season? Is it worrisome to see that there's a new ballpark today being Wednesday, and it wasn't a sellout, or do you think it's just the afternoon thing, or do you think it's a combination?
I think that's a great question. I think it could be the afternoon thing. I think it's just that it's early.
Yeah.
Early in the season, it's hard. A lot of people aren't into the baseball mode yet.
Well, especially with the Leafs, right?
Especially with the Leafs. And like I mentioned to you, in previous years, they didn't do many of these day games during the week, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see if it kicks off. Like I said, I love the work from dome angle. It'd be something to keep an eye on. So yeah, we'll see. I think more the lower attendance, I think, has to do with it just being early.
42,609 was today's attendance. So something interesting. It was good. The crowd was pretty quiet, things considered today, but that is okay. When you look at the first 13 games of the Toronto Blue Jays season, as we talk, and, you know, our listeners could be picking this up whenever, what is standing out as a problem for you? What are you impressed with?
Well, you know, like I was telling you, it's kind of going the way we thought. They're having trouble scoring runs. But in fairness, I think that's like a lot of the league. I was looking at the averages for both teams. There's a lot of 150s, 140s. So I think I haven't got the stats, but I think runs are down pretty well across the board as usual across the league. Yeah, some of the good things, can't complain too much about the starting pitch. And I know Gausman had a clunker, but the starting pitching has been really good. Kikuchi looked almost unhittable.
He looked fantastic today.
Through six today, so starting pitching's been good. Bullpen's been pretty good, except today. I mean, Mesa.
Yeah, Mesa blew up today.
Yeah, Mesa blew up today. Could be overused, like I said. He already said that was his seventh appearance. So what are we? Not even 2 weeks in the season.
So essentially, it's every other game.
So every other game. So that might be a lot of work. So the injuries are tough. And like we said, Parker's been saying on Blair and Barker, maybe a little too much work for Kirky behind the plate. So hopefully Jano comes back soon. So,
well, that was the other interesting thing, too, is we talked about Kirky. And last year, Heinemann was in there regularly with Kirky and Jansen injured. Severin had a good spring training. He was pretty good, and, you know, I was impressed. I don't understand why Severin hasn't caught a few more games.
I'm not sure. I'm not surprised why they didn't use him today. You know, it's commonplace. The day game after a night game, you play the other catcher. I guess Schneider just thought, hey, we need the offense. Let's put in Kirky. But yeah, to me, Servin's got to be in there. Day game after a night game. You know, we all know about Kirky. You know. The extra workload. It's early in the season still, so I don't know. To me, Servin should have been in there.
The Iron Man, Alejandro Kirk. Never thought I'd say that. Jansen, as we talk, is hit a grand slam for the Bisons. Interesting enough, they talked about the wrist injury, right? Could be a while. Don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, if he's hitting now, is a good thing. Is there a world where Danny Jansen, in your opinion, comes up to just DH?
I could see that next week.
Yeah.
I say give him the weekend, maybe DH him again. I don't know what the Bison schedule is, but I DH him another game. And then, yeah, if runs are still a problem, I don't see why you don't bring him up.
Yeah.
I don't know who you bring down.
Well, that's the question.
Maybe Vogie?
Vogie, if you get
it temporarily.
If Vogie doesn't take that, or... If Foggy wants a DFA or whatever,
they're
paying. Like, that's the thing. I really think Ross painted himself in the corner, bringing Vogel back up here, because if Votto comes up, you got to pay him. If you can't pigeonhole yourself a DH, right? Turner's good because Turner can play first. Turner, you don't want him to play third, but he can play third.
Yeah.
Vogelback can only pinch hit. Votto more than likely can play first. But really, he's going to be a pinch hitter. Both guys, Vogelback, Votto, you bring them up, you're paying them $2 million each. And then if you send them down to Buffalo, because they will, I'm pretty sure, are minor league deals, you risk losing them, because I think they have to go through waivers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the problem. You pigeonhole yourself if there's an injury, if you want Springer's bat in the lineup, if you want Vladdy's bat in the lineup, and he's sore. That's tough. It's definitely tough. So... as we continue to sit here and look at this empty stadium, it's just unbelievable. How much has changed since the last time we were here?
Yeah.
When you look, and I've talked to people about the Rays and the Marlins, and soon I'll be talking to somebody about the Mets, but when you look across baseball, the rash of pitching injuries, I want to talk about that. there are theories out there that guys throw too hard, that guys, their workload is too much, the side sessions, the intense bullpens and whatnot. You were a catcher back in the day. Back in the day, you were a catcher. What do you think the problem is across baseball right now when it comes to pitching?
You know, there's definitely something to be said. Maybe they put too much emphasis on velocity, velo, and that maybe strains the arm a little bit. But having said that, I mean, you look at the, like I mentioned, you look at the averages on both teams. There was a lot of 130s, 140s, 150s.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the pitching's really good, and it's really high. I mean, is it worth it, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting thought. I talked to our buddy Mark Corbett
from
Baseball Biz the other day, and he said something interesting, is that the human aspect of it is kind of gone because you have a guy, most teams, not the Blue Jays, but most teams have a guy that's throwing 95, 96, 97 that you can bring up. So if your fifth starter goes down, your third starter goes down, everybody's bumped up.
Yeah.
And you got a guy that you can bring up. And that's just the nature of the game now. That's his thought. What are your thoughts on
that? Yeah, that's, I would say that's probably accurate. And, you know, like, we went the whole game was 1-1 after 9 innings.
Yeah.
And there wasn't too many hard-hit balls.
No, there wasn't. And that's the thing, right? When you have guys that are working in the offseason, working on motion and movement and whatnot. But you're right. The pitching is really good. It's interesting, too, because I read an article from our buddy Doug Fox about, I think it was Dr. Andrews who actually said it, that he used to work on major leaguers first, college kids second, high school kids third. Now, his practice is full of high school kids first, college kids second, and major leaguers third. It's almost like we're, you know, these guys are now ingrained at. You got to throw 102. You got to have breaking pitches that start from the left-handed batter's box and end up in the corner of the right-handed batter's box. Like, it's insane. Like, I don't know why this is being taught when a lot of pitching is just unsecured, right?
Yeah. Glad I don't have to hit off.
Well, that's just it. That's exactly it. So, we'll have to see what happens. But you got Bieber down, Pavetta's down, and who knows who else will go down. I mean, there's more names. I could bet. Loaisiga for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So he went down. It's crazy. We'll have to see what happens. Across the rest of baseball, anything sticking out to you?
Well, obviously Yankees going off to a great start. That kind of sticks out as, I guess, a little bit of a surprise. I think a few people have counted out the Yankees at the start of the year.
Yeah.
So, especially with Cole going down. So, yeah. Yankees and then, you know, Miami's rough start. So, they're doing all right right now, beating the Yankees, but Miami's rough start. And, you know, just pretty well offense down. And pretty much what we expected, I guess, when it comes to offense, but pitching. The pitching injuries, I guess, are the biggest story of it all. So.
You mentioned Miami, Yuri Perez. That was another guy who went down. And our buddy Lou Schiff, that was his... That was the moment when he's like, the season's over for me.
Yeah.
And when they picked up Otto Lopez, he asked me if Otto Lopez could pitch. And I had to tell him no.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a tough conversation. Yeah, if, I agree with you, but the Yankees, the Dodgers are there. They lost to the Twins today. Detroit has been a good surprise. Cleveland was doing well. Tyler O'Neill's got 6 bombs
in. Yeah.
How about that for Canadian content? Yeah, that's I mean, status quo. I mean, obviously the Yankees probably right now because of their offense.
Yeah.
Best team in the American League East for now, anyway.
Yeah, but for now.
I do think they're beatable. I really do.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't think their pitching is top-notch by any stretch of the imagination. When you look at Cole being out, their bullpen's kind of hit and miss. They don't have a solid bridge to Clay Holmes, so... we'll have to see. And of course, Baltimore is Baltimore, right? Like they're gonna be just fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like everybody overhyped the Mariners, but they underhyped Baltimore. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's just going to be a log jam in the East, just like we were expecting.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a three playoff team. I don't know if it'll be four, but definitely three for sure.
Yeah,
definitely three for sure. Cannot believe we are here doing a podcast. Unfreaking believable. It is quiet as a mouse, and the lights are on for anybody that was curious. They don't turn them off, I guess. And the boards, I think the Jumbotron's on. I'm trying to look at the reflection. I still think it's on.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, that's about it baseball-wise. Not much else going on. It's quiet. It's really quiet right now. So we watch the Marlins. Historically, I mean, love the fact that they put the money into this place, because I don't know. You think about Oakland now moving to Sacramento for the next couple of years. A lot of history in that ballpark, and it really sucks, right? That, you know, they can't stay in Oakland. They can't get it figured out. And I remember back, I think Elliot told us that, you know, maybe the Jays could have been rumored for sale. You know, they could have relocated. When you think on that, and you think of the fact that we finally have investment into this ballpark, how cool is that? Like, how awesome is that? That we got a ballpark that's going to be here for the next 20 to 30 years. God willing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't beat the location, right? You got it right downtown, right where the density is.
Yeah.
And, right on the Union Station line. So, you know, it's, you got it at the right location and, you know, just need a winning product on the field, which we're trying to do. So,
yeah, I mean, trying to do. And it's interesting because now the capacity is down to 40,000 for 55.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going to be interesting to see how many other bigger events are going to come here, right? Because Taylor Swift's here for a week in November.
Yeah.
I know in August, I think Blink and Green Day are here. So, after that, I don't know what will happen. I don't know if it'll be kind of the odd concert here and there. Or is this the baseball stadium? I don't know how that affects things revenue-wise.
Yeah, no Argos. Yeah, they don't have that second tenant. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I mean, you could get some concerts in here now that this is smaller capacity, for sure.
I don't think... It depends on the artist.
Yeah. Like Taylor Swift's like the top.
If she has a whole week, that's 200,000.
Yeah, no, Taylor Swift. But you like, I mean, you get smaller bands for sure. Now that you got the smaller capacity, right?
I remember in this building, so they've had two WrestleManias. They've had, you remember the NFL with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
So that's gone. You know, when we see Paul
Godfrey. Oh, that's definitely gone, yeah.
When we see Paul Godfrey in St. Mary's, that's gone. He still wants a football team here, but it ain't happening at Rogers Center. I'll tell you that. Wow. WrestleMania, they've had, how many years do they have monster trucks?
I saw the circus one. Circus. You know, it was in grade three, I think.
Yeah, Disney on Ice was here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Can you do Disney on Ice? I'm sure you could do an outdoor Leafs game. I think those seats are
acceptable. Yeah.
Or do you have that at BMO? I mean, now it's going to get to a point because I think BMO is going to have a capacity of 45 for the World Cup.
Yeah.
So it's bigger than Rogers.
Yeah, can't get out of that. You're committed to that. So.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Very interesting, and I can't wait to see what happens. That's it. I mean, here we are, 5 years later, and back at Rogers Center. Back doing a live card show. Love doing live card shows. A few more of them to happen this year. I think that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
You got anything good?
Oh, no. Just, you know, wish we could have seen a win, but hey, can't win them all. It's a long season.
No, you can't. And, I mean, it was a really, really, really good game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Was it Rodriguez, the second baseman? For Seattle? Polanco made an amazing play.
By a thread.
Clemente. Yeah, for a thread. Yeah, for anyone who hadn't seen the game, it was 1-1. Bottom of the ninth, two bases loaded, two out, and then, Polanco caught in the webbing of his glove a blooper that I thought was going to drop in, and that's what baseball, it's a game of inches, right? So, you know, great game, and, can't win them all.
Can't win them all. Hopefully, Romano and Swanson come back soon.
It's going to depend on when we get these reinforcements back. Romano, Swanson, Jansen, we definitely need.
What did you think of Pearson? Pearson was awesome.
Pearson looked good.
Garcia was great. Billy and Markham can't go three innings, you quack.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Garcia, that five-pitch inning was key so we could get him out for a second. I mean, you wouldn't do a third, but him pitching two innings really put him in a position to maybe win that game. So, yeah, bullpen looked good until, unfortunately, Mesa shut. Had a rough outing, but again, you're using them every other day. It's bound to happen.
So just notice that there's another barrier past the TD seats, right? So you got the TD seats, the clubhouse seats, and then I think you got the 100-level dugout seats. So really a lot of great class diversification here.
Yeah.
keep the peasants out, Mark. That's all I got. Let's close it up. For Dave, I'm Brett. Subscribe, listen, anywhere you get the podcasts. This is the Carter Show. Bye-bye.
Nice.
Oh, shit. I'll edit that out. Come on.